Light rain is expected off and on today, and I'm just getting reports. In fact, I got a text from Sheldon in the southeast part of the province. Blowing dust is so thick in places, you can't see basically out your windshield. So throw your lights on if you're out and about, especially in an area. These winds are not going away today. We've expected in parts of the province 100 to 110 kilometers an hour will be the wind gust. So it is windy. It's going to be dusty. If you're out on the highway, no different than you would be on a foggy day, throw the lights on to keep yourself and everyone else safe. Well, we've had a bit of a theme going this week talking about men's role in assault and violence against women. You remember we had Jackson Katz on the show this week, who is an educator and an author who focuses on what men can do to end violence against women. And that's important always. This month, May, is Sexual Violence Awareness Month. And this month is also when we see a Saskatchewan-wide campaign called Choose to See, taking aim at online trends that are having negative impacts. Now, I have to admit, as we were putting this segment together and I started hearing words like looks maxing and manosphere, I had to say, I don't even know what these are. I don't even know what this means. Which is why we bring in an expert to talk about this. The Choose to See campaign is an important one in the province, and I've got Morgan Price joining me today in studio, the Education and Outreach Coordinator with the Saskatoon Sexual Assault and Information Center. Welcome to the show, Morgan. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back.
So let's talk about the campaign, Choose to See. What is the essence of this campaign? What are you hoping to achieve?
The idea of this Choose to See campaign, we sort of have done a few years in a row, and this year we're expanding it to be a Choose to Unlearn theme, centering around the critical role of men and boys in preventing and ending gender-based violence, like how you were talking about. Mm-hmm. It directly engages men and boys, particularly those impacted by the pull of this online manosphere that you mentioned before. It sort of welcomes men into the prevention work rather than calling them out and pointing that finger.
Right. So, you know, when we talked about this earlier this week and we talked about the role that men can play to end violence against women, the text line was busy with a lot of people saying, I agree with this topic, but I'm not an abuser. Right. And so we got into this topic about how language matters and what you say and sometimes what you condone by not stepping up and saying that that's inappropriate. How does that morph into this kind of online discussion that you're talking about? And maybe we should start by what is manosphere? I don't even
what
understand
that. What is the manosphere?
Yeah.
So the manosphere is a collection of online communities, forums, chat groups that focus on men's issues and masculinity, which is not inherently a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So while some of those discussions start off as focusing around self-improvement or how to have healthy relationships, many of these spaces accidentally or intentionally start promoting hostility towards women, which turns into real violence against women.
Right. And I mean, the social media presence and implications on just life in general is something we talk about often on the show. Are we seeing certain demographics, certain groups targeted or maybe targeted and or impacted by this social media?
I actually think your use of the word targeted was really great because young men, in particular teenage boys and under 30-year-olds, are particularly targeted by manosphere content. They are groomed, in a sense, to think this content is not harmful, even when it is, or is serving them when it's actually harming them just as much as the violence against women can harm women.
This term of looks maxing, again, I sometimes feel like an old guy when I hear these terms because I've never heard of this before, but this is wild when you see some of the extent to which people are willing to go to. I mean, looks maxing, my understanding is it's about trying to improve your looks.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are some of the things, the trends that you see and hear online? And feel free to include some of the extremes.
So, I mean, looks maxing is an issue that has been impacted and targeted women for decades and decades, thinking of plastic surgery, the cosmetics industry, changing our hair, etc. And so now it's just transitioning into targeting men and masculinity primarily. Lots of messaging about body dysmorphia, so saying your body doesn't look good the way it does, or it's not manly enough. So men are going to extremes to get plastic surgery in their muscles, in their shoulders, in their sexual body parts to try and appear more, again, what they perceive as masculine, engaging in self-harm behaviors, which can then lead into lots of understandably rage and aggression coming out of that, and then violence toward vulnerable communities. But the root there, the looks maxing, is the message is you are not enough in the way that you look currently, and you need to fix that.
I know I've heard said before, and I believe I've heard you say, that sexual violence dies in the sunlight. Talk about that and why that's important in this campaign that we're talking about.
Sexual violence, and you said this when I first sat down, that it's such a stigmatized issue, and survivors themselves historically have not been allowed to speak about sexual violence and about the ways that they've been impacted. They've been primarily blamed and held responsible for the crime that's happened against them. And that silence and that silencing of survivors breeds more shame and therefore more sadness, self-harm, suicidality, etc. And so when we shine a light on issues like this, it allows survivors to say, you know what, I don't need to hold this shame. The shame actually belongs on the person who caused this harm on me, not on me for experiencing the violence.
The campaign is called Choose to See. I've got Morgan Price joining me, who is the Education and Outreach Coordinator with the Saskatoon Sexual Assault and Information Center. So you talk about how it does target certain people, and we know often that you can see kids' online feeds shift dramatically in a very short time. Can you talk about that and maybe the slippery slope that is, and whether or not they started at point A, meaning to end at point B? It doesn't always work that way.
Right. When doing research for this campaign, we actually found some research out of Ireland that found that it takes 23 minutes of scrolling on either TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, until toxic or misogynistic content starts to appear in young men and boys' content, which is staggeringly fast to me. Accounts that started by just watching videos about sports, gaming, or fitness were still recommended misogynistic content within minutes. And algorithms are designed to keep people engaged, right. So controversial or more extreme content is often pushed because it gets more attention and interaction.
So when we're talking about education on this topic, and I've heard it, you know, been referred to as counter-education, or trying to almost to undo some of the things that are being learned or observed online. What does that look like? How do you go about targeting that?
Well, the first step is talking about what is the manosphere, what is this content doing? So thank you for highlighting it on your show. It's talking about it with the kids and the youth in your life, whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher. It is not something that any youth that is engaging online is at risk of experiencing. So it just has to be constant conversations. And unfortunately, in education, by parents, by teachers, by the adults that might be happily oblivious to this issue, but unfortunately their youth are directly impacted.
You know, when I had Jackson Katz on the show this week, after that, and again, we were talking about what men can do to end violence against women, and many people texting in, joining the conversation, saying, you know, I'm proud to say I'm not a person who does or ever has abused a woman.
Yep.
Love it. This isn't an anti-men campaign.
Of course not.
This is just about raising awareness about how everything from online content to conversations is important for us to be aware how that can sometimes normalize a behavior that can lead to that. May not be for you, but it could be for someone else. Is that is that a fair way to capture this?
Absolutely. And a big piece of the highlighting of the Manosphere campaign that we wanted to highlight is that this online culture hurts everyone, including men. It's telling men that they are not enough. It's telling men that they have to act in a certain way that shows how masculine and dominant they are, which is, of course, harmful to them. They have to fulfill this harmful stereotype that they might not feel is who they are at their core. So no, it's a calling in of all people, not an anti-men campaign in any way. And it's actually still a for survivors campaign at its core.
In many different conversations, there are certain people that are more vulnerable to not only be targeted, but to falling to the prey of these types of things online. Many times it's around isolation.
Yes.
We hear that with people many times. Can you talk about how that connection can be a slippery slope in this topic?
Yeah, many young men enter the manosphere or engage with manospheric type content looking for community. Loneliness, mental health struggles, social pressures can encourage young people to reach out for belonging online, and some manosphere communities offer that sense of connection at first, so it's understandable. But instead of encouraging healthy coping strategies or support systems, the content can often shift toward anger and resentment within oneself.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting today with Morgan Price from the Saskatoon Sexual Assault and Information Center. We're close to the end of our time, but if there's one conversation that adults should be having with young people right now, what would you say that is?
Just to think critically about the information that they are engaging in online. We can use social media as a tool. It can be fun. It can be lighthearted. But we should be thinking critically about what we're engaging with and whether that fits with our worldview, whether that makes sense, or whether we don't agree with that and can reject it and just scroll on to the next thing.
The campaign is called Choose to See. How are ways that people can interact with this campaign? What are the plans for the duration of it?
So we have a social media campaign both through the Saskatoon Center, the Regina Center, and the North Battleford Center. North Battleford is hosting events, Regina's hosting an event, and Saskatoon hosted an online webinar yesterday that's on our website now to be watched for the duration of the month. We also are just out in the community for the month. We have lots of free swag. You're welcome to come down to the center and pick some up if you'd like.
It's an important conversation, and I appreciate the work you and the other leaders are doing in this. Morgan, thanks so much for coming into the show.
Thanks, Evan.
Morgan Price with the Saskatoon Sexual Assault and Information Center. And again, you can go to their website or the organizations in Regina and North Battleford to learn more about the Choose to See campaign. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is one of those days where there are so many different storylines, things that people are talking about. The weather is obviously a big one. I mentioned the text that we got from Sheldon saying, if you're driving around the southeast part of the province right now, dust is blowing, the wind is high, so please. He put a few expletives in his text that I don't necessarily get to read on the air, but he basically said, number one, put your lights on. Number two, do not throw cigarette butts out the window. Dry conditions in that south part of the province, so keep that in mind as you're driving out and about as well. One of the topics, a hot topic here in the station this morning, because we got a lot of Oiler fans here, is it sounds like we've got a change when it comes to leadership for the Edmonton Oilers. Their coach is gone, and who better to talk about this than one of the biggest Oiler fans I know, Locker from the Green Zone. Locker,
thanks for having me, Evan. I'm doing fantastic. Can I just interject quickly with one comment about the cigarette?
Sure.
Are we seriously at a point in life where we have to tell people that it's not a good idea to throw a cigarette butt out of the window?
I throw it out there, Locker. I
know
provide
you do,
public service announcements.
I get it. It's not you. I'm just saying, if you're that dumb, I don't know where we're at in life. Come on,
Sheldon.
People.
Sheldon's texted it in, and I felt like it was worthwhile saying, because on a windy day, I mean, we know far too often.
No, never.
Right?
You just don't do it. Like
right.
Anyway.
I knew you'd be worked up, but I wasn't thinking it was going to be over cigarette butts out the window. How about Chris Knobloch? What do you think?
Here's the thing. If you're an NHL coach and you expect to last more than 2 years, you're in the wrong business. Like, it's just...
Even if you take your team to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row?
But dude, you just said it. They're walking away from Chris Knobloch. Do you think he's the problem, Evan?
Yeah, well,
I don't think he is, right? Like, I think what's happened is he's just lost the room. You've got the inmates are running the asylum. You're seeing it in multiple markets. You're seeing it in Toronto. I mean,
do you think was the case in Toronto with Craig Berube?
Yes, yes. It just wasn't in front of mics, in front of media, like it was in Edmonton.
Right.
Listen, McDavid and Draisaitl are two of the best hockey players in the world. They just got their coach fired. At the end of the season, their comments got their coach fired. And there's blame on Stan Bowman on how this whole thing has been handled, right, with the reaching out to Bruce Cassidy. There's blame, a lot more blame, in my opinion, on how Vegas is handling this situation. And this is pure speculation, but I think that they're doing it. They leaked the fact that the Oilers wanted to talk to Bruce Cassidy, and they said no, which is, that's asinine. I can't believe that happened. But I think they did that to mess with the Oilers, and then the Oilers were forced to move quicker. I think Toronto let Berube go quickly because Cassidy is available, and they don't want the Oilers to get him. I think they want to get Bruce.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I mean, I mean, I like the Oilers. I was cheering for them. They're, if I can be so bold, they're my Canadian team. I'm a New York Islander fan, but I like to cheer for the Oilers. But I like the fact Chris Knobloch was from Imperial, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
We had this connection to him in the province. And, you know, his style was very different than you see from, like, Torts and some of these other coaches. He was much more laid back, much more calm. In fact, you can find all kinds of memes about him on social media, people doing their Chris Knobloch impression. So for him, is this the end of his NHL coaching, or is he going to pop up somewhere else?
No, you watch, he'll end up, because they're going to hire a new GM in Vancouver. And I have a feeling that Adam Foote is gone. So there'll be a job there. There's a job open with the Knobloch. Once Bruce, once that domino falls, Chris will be the next coach that gets picked up. Mark my words. And watch him march a team right back to the Stanley Cup Finals in the first year that he gets behind the bench.
You know, I off the topic of coaches and just on the topic of the Stanley Cup Finals this year, I've been watching with interest without really feeling like I've got a horse in the race, which in some ways is a freeing way to watch Hockey Locker.
I was actually saying the exact same thing to my wife. I said, this year is so much less stressful because the Oilers are out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's you're just watching because you love hockey. Here's what I would say. If that Minnesota Wild team that played in the first period of last night's game could play that way all the time, they'd win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, 100%. You just watched the Stanley Cup Finals. Because
that was one heck of a game last night.
The Avs are on their way. They're going to march their way to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they'll be taking on the Hurricanes. So I hate to say that, and there's probably Hab fans that are upset with me about that, but I've been saying it now for the last couple of weeks. The most pointless series in the playoffs in the last 5-10 years is that Golden Knights and Ducks series, because those two are just going to get walked on by the Avs, and then the Avs are on their way to the final. That's my opinion.
And on the other side of things, you're going to have a very well-rested Carolina taking on whoever comes out of that series between Buffalo and Montreal.
So I will say this, though. The Habs are surprising a lot of people this year, not just their own fans. I think the Hurricanes would rather have the Sabres in the next round than the Montreal Canadiens.
The text line has a text from Eli saying maybe the Oilers need to get rid of McDavid. He seems to be a cancer in the room. I'm not saying anything else. I'm just waiting for you to react.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of hate out there for McDavid, which I don't quite understand because he's a fun player to watch. But I do understand the question marks around his leadership and what he brings to the table. But I think that's a big part of it. I think he's got to figure out how his role in that room, in that locker room, impacts the team as a whole. And hopefully he will do that with another coach, which will be his seventh, I think. This is Knob's 10th coach. Nuge's 10th coach.
Nugent Hopkins, yeah. The good thing is you've got lots to talk about on the show today, which is a good thing. Locker, thanks for stopping by.
Evan, always a pleasure, my friend. Don't throw cigarettes out of your windows.
Okay, thank you for the PSA there. Right. Locker in the Green Zone, back with Jamie Nye today at 2 o'clock here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.